you know, like anything else in the society that we're in now, I could make up and say that this is a corona-related cheer, so this way it'll get on, you know, Wyatt Torres' top page. Because it is. Because a major Shiloh that comes up in this discussion, clearly, is a topic of, do I have to give stucca during corona? And I'll explain to you what I mean. And that is that many people are out of jobs, and many people who have jobs are nervous that they'll be out of jobs. And therefore, we will discuss whether or not a person can save up his money in order to, you know, not knowing whether, again, it's clear that Meiser is not given, well, we'll define all the terms, but it's clear that Meiser is not given for people that are poor, they can't afford it. Rapam writes, I've seen this in a number of Svarim, but Rabbi Reisman brings this down as well, and others, that Rabbi Reisman was so upset about people who gave stucca and then asked for tuition breaks in their schools, right? It doesn't go together, okay? If you really need, if you can't pay tuition, that means that you can't pay Meiser money. That means you can't give money to stucca. But I want to be very clear that we're not speaking about, there's actually a difference. Today's year is going to be on stucca, but it's really called Meiser, and I'll explain to you why. Stucca is a chiyuv that a person has to give. There's a number of psukim in Parshas Re'eh. For example, patoach tiftach et yadecha, that you must open your hand to those that are poor. This is not necessarily the same idea that we're speaking about. When a guy comes to your door, there's something different there. When you're in shul, whether or not you want to give him, and there might be some heterim nowadays, because many stucca collectors, unfortunately, either don't need the money or use the money for bad things. It's been found in shuls that they're not even Jewish. They found them stealing black hats from the shul. Okay, so there are different things that not to discuss. But then the pasuk says, Nason titenlo, petach tiftachlo. All these may be the chiyuv that's different, that's called stucca. And again, guys, anybody that has any questions while we're talking, please feel free. You know, you could just scream it out. This is not as formal as our Sunday shiur, because I know there might be a lot of questions. We will have a source sheet, which I'll open in a moment. All those sources that we're saying is a different chiyuv, really. That's stucca. And honestly, that chiyuv of stucca is a very small amount of money. It's that you take care of poor people, but it's not a big chiyuv. What we want to discuss today is, you're a businessman now, you finally got into business, you're finally off on your own, and now we want to discuss the chiyuv of what we call Meiser. And that comes up, and I'll share with you, if you don't mind, I mean, you can mind, I don't really care if you mind or not, I'll share with you the source sheet. The source is source number one. Aser ta'aser, you might know this from Yontif Leining as well, but this is Parshas Re'eh. Aser ta'aser is chol tuvascha. A person has to give Meiser, and we'll discuss that Meiser, according to everyone, is a tenth. It might mean a fifth, so it's either 10 or 20%, but you can't go over that amount. The Gemara already says the Gemara already says in, hold on a second, sorry. Is this the sheet? I think so, yeah. Sorry about that. The Gemara, I'm looking at the sheet myself. The Gemara already discusses the chiyuv of, number one, as I just said, aser ta'aser, b'chol tu azarecha. So clearly this is talking about the original business. The original business in the times of the Torah was farming. Farming was the big business. And in fact, our parsha this week will speak, Bahar will speak a lot about Shemitah year. The Shemitah year had nothing to do with many people today. Right? It's imagine for a moment, although one could argue we're going through this right now, imagine if you had a Shemitah year. Imagine if I told you, you're a lawyer, you're a doctor, every 7 years you have to take off, you're not allowed to work, you have to sit and learn Torah. Okay, many of us feel that way now, right? There's not much to do. But that's aser ta'aser, right? How do we figure out that it means a tenth? That's interesting. We do know that all the Ovos gave Meiser. Avram Malchin Tzedek was the first. Vayitain Meiser Mikol Yaakov Avinu V'chol Asher Taser Asrenu Lach. The Mefarshim say not only did he give of everything 10%, but he also gave of his own children, believing that again you would have this Yisachar Zvulun partnership where Yisachar would be learning, Zvulun would be Tzedecha. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Malachim, it's a very interesting Rambam. At the end, Malachim is one of the last of the halachas. There in Tes Yud Aleph, he writes that Yitzchak invented Meiser. And the Ravid said he must have made a mistake. It wasn't Yitzchak, because obviously it was Avram. It's a Meforish Pasuk. But all the others taught us that we have to give this amount. It's interesting, because what if you want to be fancy pants and you want to give more money, right? You want to be a, you know, you want to be a good guy. So the Gemara in Kesuvos on Daf Nun says, Takanos Usha, you're not allowed to give more than 20%. You're not allowed to. You can't be more than a fifth. You're not allowed to. Why? The Ramah comments, because we're afraid you're going to be poor and then we're going to have to ask from you. This is what, and again, this is a unspoken, if you will, contract between us and the Rabbeinu Shalom. You think for a moment that anything you earn comes from you? Kolchem v'otzim yadi? You think because it's what you did? You're not sending anything special, right? Why did God make this one? Right? I heard from my friend who's in the venture capital business, the medical venture capital business, that there is way over 300 in the United States alone, way over 300 potential vaccines for corona on the market right now. 300 are being tested. It could be I'm wrong. It could be there are thousands, but 300 that he knows of. Okay? So how do we know which one's going to win, right? If you're a venture capitalist and you can predict that, you're going to be a millionaire. Right? It's Hashem. Hashem decides everything. What are we, crazy? It's Hashem. So the contract that we have with Hashem is, okay, you got to give back. It's not my money. I got to give back. There was a fabulous article written a number of years ago, back when I worked for a company called Netufone, which was owned by Howard Jonas. And Howard Jonas was in the newspaper. I think it was in Fortune. I forgot where. And they were lauding the fact, wow-wee, that he gives so much money to stock. He's a huge Baal Stucka. And he commented and he said, you only think I'm a tzaddik, and he said that he was machmir, the Avos Chesed, the Chafetz Chaim said that you can give more if you can, the 20%. He says, I just give like everybody else. The thing is, you don't go next to the $100,000 guy who's really struggling, and he gives $10,000 to Stucka. You look at me, because I have $100 million, right? And if a person gives $10 million to Stucka, he's great, he's a great guy. Now, what are these psukim speaking about? We're talking about all your tfuah. What did I do? This is talking about Meiser Sheni. Meiser Sheni, I just had the opportunity, literally on Friday, to do the mitzvah of Meiser Sheni in the way that we do it today. And that is that I received strawberries from a wonderful farm here in Eretz Yisrael with the caveat they did not take Meiser. So I had to take my own Meiser. It's fun. We're in the year of Meiser Sheni, so you take it with a coin, because we're not 100% sure you're supposed to give it to the Kohanim. So we're a little nervous. Who are real Kohanim today? We're not sure. The Shach speaks about this because he was a Kohen himself. Musmach or not, who is a real Kohen? So when it comes to Birchas Kohanim and giving them Aliyahs and letting them get the first Aliyah, that's fine. But we're nervous about certain things. So we are potent. But normally you went up to the Beis HaMikdash. It was amazing. You go up to the Beis HaMikdash for Meiser Sheni. And in fact, that's what source number two says here, the gorgeous Ramban. The Ramban says, what is Aser Ta'aser? Why did you go up and give Meiser? Why didn't you just give it to somebody to give? Say, okay, I now have this unbelievable orange crop. My oranges are amazing here at Eretz Yisrael, the Jaffa oranges. So okay, I have to give 100 bushels. So get a car service and bring it up to the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Ramban, no. Ki kohanim ve'ashoftim omdim sham, says the Ramban. Because I wanted you to get the mitzvah of going up. Going up. The Amr Goyli could go up there. Why? Because when you went up there, Yechiyav Le'isa, you had to go up. And then, Lemad, as the Pasuk says, what are you going to learn? Le'yiras Hashem. Why? Because look what he says. I'm going to see the kohanim and the shoftim. You're going to see the greatest rabbis of ever with the long beards. And you're going to be like, wow, that's Lifnei Hashem. I want to be like them. Morei HaTorah, Yamdei Yiras Hashem. They're going to give you a good word in the Parsha. And they're going to sing Bar Yochai with you. Whatever it is. Wow, it's going to be amazing. So it was to be inspired. Keep in mind this Ramban. We're going to use it later. The Gemara says here in source number 3 and source number 4. Famous Gemara in Tanis, Daf Ches Amud Beis, Tes Amud Aleph. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mai Dechsev, what does it say? Aser Ta'aser. You shall tithe your... What does it mean? Ready for this? Aser, you should... Bishvil, Shita'aser. You give Meiser, I'm going to make you rich. It's one of the... It's the only mitzvah that we say you could test God. We can give stock and say, I'm giving stock to Almanas, Meir Balanes. I'm giving stock to Meir Balanes, or find this item, whatever it might be. But I have a question. Maybe you're going to say what? Rav Hartstein, why are you wasting my time? I got to light a bonfire shortly. Why are you wasting my time? Why? Because I'm not a farmer. I'm never going to be a farmer. I'm going to be a businessman. I don't need it. Now, many of you, by the way, on this wonderful Zoom, probably already make money. You probably make money already. So you're going to tie it into me. I make money, right? You're on the internet. You're doing, well, I don't know. God knows what you're selling. Stark, I don't know what you sell there on the internet. God knows. I don't want to know. Shoes or drugs. I don't know what you sell. But that's, so it comes along the Tosfos here at source number 4. And the Tosfos says, it's not just Tvua, he says. Lo Tvuascha, my call, Lurabais, Ribis Pragmatia. Any type of business that you have. Pragmatia, regular work. That, so anything that you make profits on, you must give Meiser to. That's what the halach is. Okay? So let's stop for a moment. Any questions up to this point? So again, we haven't learned anything about a chiyuv. What we've so far learned is that a person has some sort of chiyuv of giving 10% of his profits. Profits is not only as farmers, whatever you might do. Questions and comments until this point. Wonderful. You're awesome. Thank you for understanding everything I'm saying. Okay, let's get back into the show. So now the question is, what's the obligation? And the reason why this is important is that if you need to know the obligation, because if you don't know the obligation, it's very important. When we say that something is minat Torah, midaraisa, midarabanan, right, or minhag, why is that important? You have to follow. What's the difference? The answer is very clear. The answer is it's important to know because there might be heterim. There might be ways to get around things if it's derabanan. So here in source number 5, we look at the Yalkut Shimoni. The Yalkut Shimoni is very important to us. Because the Yalkut Shimoni, and this is also written in the Midrash Tanchuma, that the Isser is only midarabanan. Aser ta aser, shelo tichsar aser ta aser. Why? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, aser shel tashir. But he says, right, l'rameis. It teaches us that it's a remez. What's a remez? It's a hint to pragmatia. But it's an asmachta, really. What's an asmachta? Asmachta means it's midarabanan. So even though we have a meforish pasuk, what is that pasuk speaking about? We said already, that was the time of the Beis HaMikdash. That was Ma'aseh Sheni. That was Tevua. For me to give of my $1 million that I made, 10% of that to Staka, that's a Durabana. That was added later. And the Taz agrees with the Chavos Yair has a long tshuva where he mentions this as a potential possibility. The Sefer Chassidim, the Birkei Yosef, mention this as well. However, here's something interesting. Comes along source number 6, the Bach, and he says as follows. The Bach says, Aval, Masha Adam Maisri, Masha Marviach. However, even though that we have a nice Tosfos who tells us that it's not talking about only the farmers, it's not talking about the fruit in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, it's any Revach, any profits that you make. He says, however, you know what that is? B'maso matan kesofim v'shah revachim eino klal zeh. Mimeno l'stach l'pidun shvoyim eino chiyuvo lo min ha-Torah v'lo midirabanan. This is a very important Bach. And I'll give you a surprise that you might not know. The majority of poskim hold like this Bach. The whole thing that we talk about, people who give major money to Staka because of how much they make and the 10%, is a minhag that we've established upon ourselves. Quasi, so it's like this revach that we've talked about. It's like I have a field. It's like I'm following these laws. But clearly the Bach says, the mitzvah is only a mitzvah that is a minhag. And therefore, the majority of poskim, as I said, say that this is halacha lemaisa. The Chavos Yair says he believes that this is correct. Why? There's no reference in Shas to this. I read you a Gemara. The Gemara is not talking about 10% of your profits when you're a stockbroker. There are no stockbrokers then, right? There are no guys selling whatever. So it's not the same. It's not the same, says the Chavos Yair. And Mistama, as I said, this seems to be the Shita of most, the Shilas Yaivis, the Pnei Yoshua, the Chassam Sofer, the Shavus Yaakov, the Chavetz Chaim and Avas Chesed, the Sheilas Shuvus Maharil, Sheilas Shuvus Prit Tzedek, Rav Moshe Feinstein seems to say this way. These are Minhagim. In fact, Rav Schechter says, the greatest thing you could ever tell a Bar Mitzvah boy before he's Bar Mitzvah is, Stucka is only a, again, when I say Stucka, I'm talking about Meiser, is only a Minhag. Accept upon yourself, you know that, because if you're like anybody on this Zoom, possibly, until this point, you probably thought that this was not a mitzvah, this was a mitzvah midarabanan or midaraisa. And you had to do it, you had no choice. So you were following it, it's almost like Lashon Neder. You had no choice. But if the Bach is correct, then what? Then we have a lot of heterim, it's just a minug. It's a minug, you have to do it. But we'll see what the heterim will be in a moment. Comes along source number 7. This is a fun source because it's the Taz. And I'll tell you why it's a fun source in a moment. Says the Taz, Kasav Shemaiser Shel Mamon Shelano Ein Bo Chiyuv Lo Minatar V'Medrabanan. There's someone that writes this? Who? The guy on the top, the Bach. Who's the Taz referring to? The Bach. Sheharei Mevor Shechuyuv Gamor. And who wrote this, he writes? In the part, ready for this? Look what it says. Uperish who? Mori Vachami. My father-in-law. The Taz was married to the daughter of the Bach. He says, hey, with all due respect, Rabbi Bach, I don't think you're right. I don't understand what you're talking about. I don't think that the Chiyuv is a Chiyuv that's only a Minhag. You know what I think it is? A Chiyuv Gomor. A Chiyuv Mid-De-O-Raisa. That's what the Taz says. This is really a Das Yochid. Mamish Adas Yachet. Very hard to understand this. The Rambam does crown the mitzvah of Staka in mitzvah Asay 195, so maybe you could say that, but it's hard to say. It's hard to say that that's that. Now it's true, Rav Chaim Voloshin quotes his Rebbe, the Gra, and says we know that keeping Meiser Ksafim, keeping Meiser will save you from all Hezek, and it will make you into a rich person. But again, we've seen 3 Shitas to review. Shita number 1, Midrabanan. Shita number 2, Minhag. Shita number 3, Midaraisa. And I say it in that order because hardly anyone says it's Minotaur. It's very hard to say that, even though there's a Pasuk Aser Taser, even though there's a Pasuk Patoach Tiftach, and 2 other Pasukim, because it's not talking about our prophets necessarily. Yes, you have the Tosfos, and there you could say it's either Minhag or Midrabanan. But again, even Midrabanan is hard to say. And why is this important? This is important for the next statement that we're going to make. And this is the key, Rabbi Yisai. And this is what you need to know if you're going to give staka, which I hope you all will. What can I give it to? This is the $25,000, $64,000 question. Nowadays, the $6 million, $24 million. What is it? What can I give it for? So before we let's stop for a moment. So first of all, just as a sense of review, just to review for a second. The questions that might come out, and I'll even stop for a moment so I can see everybody's wonderful faces. The question might come out as follows. Again, if it's only a minhag, and now it's corona time, and I don't know where my parnassah is going to come from, and I don't think this is an amuna question. It bothers me when people say that. I don't think it's an amuna. I heard a shir, I'm not going to say which rabbi, because I have to speak negatively about what he said. And this rabbi said that I think that anyone who's not buying regular things, right? Let's say the guy gave the example, right? His kids comes to him and he says, my bike is broken. It's corona time. There's nothing to do. You're allowed to bike. And the guy says, I can't get a new bike. I don't have a job. I have money, but I don't have a job. I don't know where parnassah is coming from. He says, you don't believe in Hashem, right? You go to buy Shabbos food and you say, you know what? This Shabbos we're only having chicken. No, we normally have meat. Because you don't believe, that's not a muna. I'm not sure. I have to respectfully disagree with that. A person can be fiscally responsible, not knowing. But what about staka? So if we say that it's only a minhag, even if I accepted upon myself that minhag, I don't know if I have to give right now during corona season. Again, there are people who do an amazing thing. They have a separate bank account. I did this for a few years. I had a separate bank account where I kept my money back in America when I had money, right? And I gave, they joke that when a person gets married, even though he doesn't make a lot of money, right when you get married, you have the most money you'll ever have because you have no expenses. You have a little bit of an apartment expense. You have no kids. You have no yeshiva tuition. Now it's much more difficult. So now he keeps an accounting of it. So let's say I have in my bank, I have left $50,000 in my bank. Mitzvah. I have $50,000. I don't know what's going to happen. And I know of that Meiser money, I have to give $5,000 of it. Okay? So comes along the Poskim and say that, yeah, you have to keep a ledger that I owe $5,000, but you can wait and see how things go. And if you really hold it's a minug, and this I personally asked Rav Schechter this question, so maybe you can be, they call it creative accounting. Right now there's an amazing program called PPP. Those that know of it, it's the Paycheck Protection Program, where they're giving out wonderful, amazing money to people to save their businesses. So there's a lot of questions. What can you use for it? Again, the question of creative accounting. So so now, here's a question for you. So I asked Rav Schechter, I want to make Aliyah. It costs a lot of money to make Aliyah. And I know I might not get a job in the beginning. Can I save my Meister money for a year or two? Just to make sure I could get on my feet. Because that 10,000, whatever it is, that 20, it can help me. So if you only save Mitzvah Donan, that's Dirabanan, that could be helpful. And that's what we're going to get to now, all these different questions. Can I use it for yeshiva tuition? Can I use it for my son going to Israel for the year? I can't pay for my son to go to Israel for the year. I can't do it. But if I use Meister money, so I have a $10,000, I could do it. What about buying Sfarim? This comes up a lot. I don't know why. Guys like this question. So let's see the source and see what it can be. Any questions until this point? Mistama, there'll be some questions when we get to these, the nitty-gritty of it. So let's look at the nitty-gritty of it. And let's get to it. Okay. So here comes the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Resh Mem Tet. One second, I'm just going to get my source sheet that fell behind here. So the Shulchan Aruch and Resh Mem Tet says as follows. First, the Shulchan Aruch says, Shir Netina Im Yodo Misegas Yitein Kefit Tzorech Aniyim. You should give to the Aniyim what he can. Vein Misegas Kokach Yitein Ad Choymesh Nechnasav Min Mitzvah Min Echur Min Meiser. Fine. But then comes along the Ramah here. And the Ramah says, let's get move this Ramah around. The Ramah says the following. He says, what does it mean? Lo yivazbez adam yosem mechayim. You can only spend, as I told you, 10%. So he says the following, or 20%. V'ein, however, there is a restriction. V'ein la'aso is mi ma'aser shelo davar mitzvah. You can't use it for mitzvah money. What does that mean? Kigon, he gives you an example. Neiros lebeis hakaneses. Oshar, davar mitzvah. Rak yitain le'aniyim. You can only give it to poor people. And there, as you see, he quotes the Maharil, one of our important Ashkenazic sources. So comes along the Taz. Comes along the Ramah. And the Ramah says, this is a mitzvah for poor people only. Now, it's interesting the example he gives. Because I would understand if the Ramah said, you can't use this to buy your lulav and esrog. You can't use this to buy your tefillin, because that's a mitzvah chiyuv. I have to do that mitzvah. But Neiros of a Beit Knesset is not true. There used to be a minug, there's some shuls that still have this, where the person is going to pay for the electricity of the shul. Right? I'm supporting all the people that they can have electricity. I don't know if you guys ever, in Eretz Yisrael, when you guys were here, if you saw there are some shuls, when you go into the shul, the air conditioning works based on a coin system. It's really cool. You have to put money into a machine in order the air conditioning to work. Why? This is a shul. It's like a stucco thing. It's a little bit similar to this. Now, that's interesting because what? That's not a chiyuv, right? I didn't have to give this donation. But it's not going to poor people. Maybe that's the Ramah. That's what the Ramah is getting at. Now, it could be that there's a difference here between Ashkenazim and Sfardim. The Yalkut Yosef, Rav Avad Yosef's son, Rav Yitzchak Yosef, in the name of his father, the chief rabbi of Israel, says that it's only a minhag. And as long as you stipulate b'li neder before, we can be meikel. And therefore, something I did discuss, what does it mean exactly? There's two wonderful svarim that I have. I have a number of svarim on this. I think both came from my father. One is called Ba'irich Staka. This is a Hebrew sefer, a great sefer on this. All practical questions he asks the great Gedolim, Rabbi Yashav, and Rosh Hashanah Zalman Auerbach. And then there's the Art School Sefer, the Art School Sefer on this, called The Laws of Stuck on Meiser, Rabbi Taub. Also an amazing sefer. It's not that big. And of course, there's a number of other svarim on this. So there they discussed this great question of, well, what is Meiser? First of all, before I should get to this question, I apologize, I didn't even get to it yet. And that is, well, what is Meiser? Wait a minute, Hartstein. I got a question for you. Everybody has what? Everybody has taxes. So let's say a guy makes Nebuch only $100,000, right? That's impossible. But let's say he lives in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, you can still make $100,000, yeah? A guy makes $100,000. Make it easy. So 10%, he only has to give how much? He only has to give $10,000. So now, but wait a minute. He didn't come home with that money. He didn't come home with that. You know how much money he came home with? The taxes, $100,000. I don't know. Let's make up. He came home with $80,000. Everybody agrees he only has to give $8,000 to Stockholm. Right? It's how much you bring home. Now, you might have a lot of questions on this. We'll discuss it. I'll give you time to discuss this question because it's not so simple. Not everybody agrees exactly what you can take off. What about living expenses? So this we'll get to a little bit. This question, I'm sorry, I've dropped my source sheet once again. And I got a fan on here, so it's blowing the thing. So that's a question. According to the Ashkenazic Poskim, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes this extensively about this, that you can subtract living expenses. This is a question. How far do we go with this? So there are Poskim who say, in the Art School Sefer, he writes that you can take off business expenses that you need to live. I need a car to get to work. Right? Not everybody needs a car to get to work. But some people who need a car to get to work, so maybe you could take the monthly payments off of that. Certainly, if you go on a business trip, and I need that, that's going to be the same thing. Let's say, for example, a person did a business deal, right? And he made $1 million. $1 million on the business deal. But, this is very possible in the world that we're living in now, in order to get the business deal, he spent $500,000 in advertising and meetings, whatever it is. So he didn't make $1 million. He doesn't have to give 10% of the million. Everybody agrees you get 10% of the $500,000. Because that's the value of what he actually brought home. But it seems that according to the Ramah, it can only go to Aniyim. Now this is very interesting. Why? Because the pasuk that we brought was what? Maiser Sheni. Maiser Sheni wasn't to Aniyim, it was to Kohanim. There is something called Maiser Ani. That's to Aniyim. So is the Ramah saying, no, it's not Aser Taser, it's another pasuk of Maiser Ani. Very interesting. Very interesting. However, in source number 9, I quote the Prisha. The Prisha writes, as you see in his Tshuvas of Maharib Menachem, the following question. Right? This, I don't know why this comes up in Shana Aleph a lot. Everybody gets so frum in Shana Aleph and they want to buy Svarim. They also get so frum that they have no money, right? I say this to guys all the time. They have money to go out to Burger's Bar. They have money to go to Papagayo's. All of a sudden they have no money for Svarim and they want to use Meiser money, right? They all wake up one day and they realize, oh my God, I'm sitting in the bank, you know, from my bar mitzvah. My parents graciously let me have my bar mitzvah money. And I made, I don't know what, $10,000. I live in fancy LA or something. So I made a lot of money, right? I've been making fun of the five towns too much. So let's say LA. I made so much money. $10,000 is nothing, Stark, right? I made $50,000, right? In my day, the joke was, you know, can you buy a car? You did well in your bar mitzvah if you can buy a car, right? Okay, those days the cars were like, you know, $10,000, but okay. So now I made $50,000. So the question is, so let's say I have to give $5,000 to Stucca. So now I'm sitting in my Shana Aleph now. My bar mitzvah was many years ago, 5 years ago. And I said, oh my God, I need to give $1,000 to Stucca. I said, oh my God, wait, I could buy a shas. I could buy every svarim. Says the Prisha. I'm sorry, the Drisha. I said called the Prisha. The Drisha says as follows. Ready for this? The Asher Shelot Likud Svarim, a Maisa Kochach Ragil Laharos LeBnei Adam Kol Mitzvah Shetov LeYado. He says, yeah, any mitzvah that comes to your hand. For example, Leos Baal Bris, right? There used to be a minhag that when they didn't have somebody to pay for a bris, the guy was poor, they would give the guy the zchus. They would say, hey, Hartson, you're so rich, give me $5,000 or whatever, not $5,000, hopefully $1,000 to pay for the fancy schmancy bris. And you could be the sandek, or lachnis lachasim v'kala lachupa. You could walk them down. I want everybody's going to know. Wow, hey, look, Arya, Kobe, you have so much money, Kobe. Arya, you have so much. And what are you going to do? You're going to walk down lachasim and kala because you gave it. Or he says, okay, yotzabam, other things. Ulikno svarim. You can buy svarim. Lilmol baham. Ulhashilam lacherim. Now, that's not just a suggestion. He's saying you have to do that. You have to lend it to somebody else. It has to be lendable. Im lo yecholos biyado, only if there's no other way he can do it. I won't be able to buy this farm. So that is a huge chiddush that he says. And there are others who say this as well, that you could use svarim. The Shach seems to imply this, and the Taz, the Pesukei Tshuva, Chachmas Adam, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. He's the Chachmas Adam, right? You got to let the Yorshim know. So if it's my Svarim, I got to let my kids know what's going on here, because they might not know that, and then when I'm no longer around, they don't know that my Svarim go out to other people. So that's a possibility. A possibility. Let's stop for a moment, see if there are any questions on these inyanim. Any questions so far? Yes. I'll let, I don't know, whoever wants to go first. Whoever can talk louder. Questions? Yes. You go first. Yes. Apply what? I'm sorry, apply. Oh, good. So that's a question we're going to ask. We have 10 minutes. I'll be able to answer that question. And that's a great question. The question is going to be, what about college education? Right? So it's interesting. Obviously, when it comes to education, we're not talking about secular education, you're talking about secular education. You're asking a different question. I was asking a Jewish question. You're asking a non-Jewish question, which is as follows. Very good question. Correct me if I'm wrong, this is your question. I decide to become a doctor, okay? Okay, and when I become a doctor, what do you get? You get a certificate, what do they call that? A diploma. And with the diploma, you get another one that's red, and it says, Yeshkoyach, you now owe, you know, a $500,000 in fees to the college that you owe. So now, I owe $500,000 to to Harvard Medical School, right? $500,000 in loans. And now my first year, I'm amazing. I can't believe it. I made $200,000. I haven't made a penny. I got to give it all back. So you could be correct. I have no chiyuv of miser until I actually make money. This is the point I made in the beginning. Rav Palm says, I'm asking for tuition breaks. I'm asking for shanal for free. And now I'm going to give stucca? That's ridiculous. That's true. Another question will become, why can't I use this miser money to pay for my child's education? That's what we're going to see. Who had the other question? Okay. Good. Good. Good question. Correct. 100%. That's a great question. It's a very important question. The Chafetz Chaim asked this question as well. When do I calculate Meiser? So you could calculate Meiser if you want, really anytime you want. I think it's important for a person to keep a book on this. Nowadays that we have, you know, Excel spreadsheets, or you can make, a Google Doc. It doesn't have to be every second you get the money, but you have to calculate it because you're going to make a mistake. This is why people recommend separate bank accounts for this. It's not necessary halachically, for sure it's not, but it's a great question. I don't think you have to do it even every month if you don't want to. Some people do it every year. A person could delay that, as I told you. Rav Schechter said straight out that you could delay this for years if you wanted to, if you're afraid you're not going to have money. Let's say I first started out and I need money to build a family, right? So that might be mutter as well. I'm not called a person to give. The worst thing I can recommend, is that your parents decide they're going to help you out. You just got married, you're still in college or whatever, or you're in medical school, and your parents say, you know what, I feel bad, you guys have nothing, here's $10,000. And you're like, oh, I have to give $1,000 to Stucca. No, you don't. Especially if they explicitly told you don't give Meiser on it. You don't give Meiser if you're poor. You're considered to be poor. You don't have any money. So I don't think you have to do it right away. But again, you have to make a recording of it. Some people want to do it every month. Some people like to do it, not every week for sure. Some people do it every 6 months, right? Every year, it's, you know, sometimes that money could leave you and it goes away. So that would be the question. Any other questions? Good question. Good. Non-Jewish stuckas. Very good question. Mistoma, probably not. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I once had a lot of research on this topic. I was not able to find my old notes on this. I gave this year years ago. As you can see, the source sheet is quite an old source sheet, back before the Bar Ilan days. I believe Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. I know Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, I think, discusses this as well, that he thinks that there is a mitzvah to give stucca, being a mitzvah, to give to like the March of Dimes, or to give to your local PAL, you know, beloved association of the firemen, if everybody else is giving, it'll be a chil Hashem if you don't give. But he doesn't think you could use that for miser money. It's a nice thing to do. It's stucca in some shape or form, but not necessarily part of miser. And by the way, a follow-up question to that, which I'm not answering now, is what if you know the stucca, right? Let's say I give money to whatever. I'm not going to give it names now. But you could look this up on GuideStar, and you know that 50%, right, of the money you give $1,000, only $500 is actually going to the needy kids. The rest is going to pay salaries. So luckily, that's called stucca, even though not all of it's going to stucca. Fair enough. So, any other questions? I don't want to miss any questions. Yes, go ahead. Whoever wants to go, go. What? I didn't hear you. Good question. So the question is, do I give it on a gift card? Do I give it on anything that's not actual money? And the answer is probably. Probably yes. Sometimes this is a hard thing to do, right? Wedding gifts, you have this question. Again, assuming if the people have money. Meaning if the person really has the money, you normally when you get married, you don't have too much money. But let's say you get a gift. And the gift was a $5,000 massage chair. Okay? So the question is, how can I give miser from that? I don't have the money. So a lot of poskim say that you might have to give miser on that. A gift card can be exchangeable for cash. And therefore, if I'm able to, if I'm not a poor person, so then I should give miser on that. That's very relatable to cash. And therefore, I think you would have to do that. Again, if you're able to. Yes, Arya. Right. So again, assuming you're not a poor person, I don't think a lot of you guys are qualified for miser because of your age and the fact that you are soymech al shulchan aviv is called. Your parents are actually paying for most of your expenses. So I don't think it's fair to cheat out your parents and to pay a miser when they're supporting you. Even though they might give you $20 of here and $20 there, or they let you use the card. It's a little bit of a chutzpah. Your parents are giving you, you know, they say, hey, go out and get some pizza, and they give you $20, and you're like, oh, I gotta give $2 to stucca. It's not your money. Okay? Yeah, so if you earn money from camp, even though it might be your first time, and you're so excited, and it's not a lot of money, it's only $750. Yeah, you have to give $75 of that, for sure. Right? Okay, I just gave an example, but yeah, you made $5,000 over camp. Doesn't matter. You would have to give miser, assuming you're in the category of miser and not soymech al shulchan aviv. Or you say, listen, I need this $5,000. I'm putting it in a bank. I don't know what's going to be with me. I don't know if I'll even, I might not even finish college. So that. Right, so that, I'm sorry, I didn't answer your question. That's a good question. That was the question you really were asking. If you get an item, again, assuming you have the money, let's say you're Baruch Hashem, you do well, and you receive the gift. So the poskim do discuss this. Let's say it's a gift I don't want. Like the example given Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about teachers are forced to go to the dinner of the school. But they don't want to go to the dinner of the school. So they ask, I have to pay to go to the dinner $500. Now, buck these teachers. Can I use my miser money? So Rav Moshe says, yes. But you could have to negate from that, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, what the price of a meal that you would have eaten that night was. Not the price of the meal there. If you notice, when you get a tax receipt, so it says on it, thank you for your donation of $500. $95 of this was used for the meal. So Rav Moshe says, no, not $95. For miser money, you only have to do, a meal normally costs me, I don't know, you go to the Merkaz, you get a falafel for 15 shekel, whatever you would have gotten, 20 shekel, 30 shekel, that's it. So it could be used. If it's an actual physical item, again, because of this heter, that's not a heter, because it may only be a minhag, some say that you don't have to do with items that you can't actually cash in and you won't cash in. So, you know, yeah. Right, it's not about the actual item itself, but you've received something that you could potentially cash in. I got a table that's worth $1,000 and I could sell it on whatever that show is called. Right, I could go there and say, so then yeah, maybe you would have to. Again, not everybody agrees with this. Okay. Oh wait, let. Yeah, yeah. Because the gift in itself is transferable, could be transferable to money if it's easily transferable. So if you actually got a gift, let's say you say to your boss, you know what? I don't want a raise. Just buy me a new iPhone. So he would have given you the $1,000, but instead he gave you an iPhone. So yeah, you have to give $100 on that. Again, some people will disagree and say, but I don't have the money to give. I don't have that money. It's a good question. But that is part of your income. No. That is part of your income. I think. I'm sorry? Yeah, that's fair. Jewish income tax is I don't love the word, but I'll put it even worse than you said it, Stark. It's Jewish protection money. The Rabbanu Shalom says, "You want me not to beat you up?" Right? You believe in me? Do you believe this money came from you? From me? And not from you? Then you got to take care of my people. And the famous... No. I thought that was clear. Any money I have to give to income tax, that comes off from the top. So if I'm in the 35% tax bracket and I make $100,000, take that off from the top. That it's money you actually come home with. Most Poskim would agree as well. Even the retirement account, the money I come home with, that's Meiser money. And therefore, you're right. You could argue that if I got a computer for free, I got a gift, this maybe that's not because I can't cash it in. Other Poskim say, no, you have the money. You could cash it in, and therefore you can. Maybe the value would be less. I apologize because my shear is over, and I didn't get to some important points. So just give me a few more minutes. Anybody, obviously, that has to get off, I understand. But I didn't make the Ikra points here. Which is important. So I apologize, but let's just get back to just a few points that will allow me to end this year appropriately. And that is that's the second side of this. And that is as follows. And I'll stay on as long as you want, if you want, to answer questions. The Bear Hagola over here asks, I'll just say it on the outside, that if it's a mitzvah that I would be doing anyway, everybody agrees that I can't use for Meiser money. But if it was another type of mitzvah, maybe, and this is what the Tzitz Eliezer says here in source number 12, maybe that's the machlokes over here between what we saw as the Drisha and the Ramah, what he calls the Maharil and the Maharam. And that is that, if it's dafka going to somebody that's poor, okay? Somebody that's poor mamish. What does that mean, poor mamish? This guy Nebuch has no, so he thinks that I really want to buy walking his daughter down to the aisle. And I give all the money for the wedding. I gave $10,000 so they can have a nice wedding. And I get this zchus, even though I'm getting an honor, that's not so bad. This is in source number 12, he says. It has to only go to poor people. But that's what's happening over here, he says anyway. He says maybe it's not a machloikas. First, we might say that this isn't a machloikas because it's Meiser Sheni. And if you remember the first Ramban that we said, what was Meiser Sheni for? To inspire ourselves to be better Jews. And therefore, if I want to use my Meiser money to buy Sfarim, or, by the way, I save up my money so I can go to Israel for Return and Learn in January, that might be Mutter. That's Meiser Sheni. Says the Tzitz Eliezer, maybe that's not true. Maybe they both kind of agree with each other. But the Machlekes is, what if I get honor from this thing? What if I do something like I give a nice donation to the shul that's going to go to the poor people of the shul, whatever that is? And I get a big plaque, I got something out of that. The Poskim discuss this nowadays with Chinese auctions and different things where you get honor for doing it. That probably is mutter. I get an aliyah, they call me. If that's not part of the deal normally, even though I get a schus of getting an aliyah, that might be okay, says the Bear Hagola. Rav Moshe Feinstein in the last tshuva, in source number 13, asks, what about tuition? It's clear that regular tuition for a son can't be used because there's a mitzvah in the Torah, right? The mitzvah in the Torah says, Limant levanecha, you have to teach your children. Aye, but what does it say? Levanecha velo libnotecha. So Rav Moshe here was asked in a martial tshuva in Yoredei Chilek Beisim in Reishit Gimel. What about women? So he says the following thing. Here's the problem. It got cut off a little bit. He says, however, today there is no chiyuv of the av b'talmud Torah. The ein bazeh, but you know what there is? There's a chov of a memshala. The government forces girls and boys to go to school. Not now, not during Corona, but they force you to go to school. And therefore, you're not allowed to stay in the streets. It's against the law. And therefore, I have a chiyuv. And also, because he says the way that our society is, girls who didn't go to school, they don't have any schooling, you don't teach them Torah, bad things could happen to them. They're going to go out to places, I don't know. And he says, Baruch Hashem, we're not in the set generations that they used to be where women were illiterate and they didn't know anything. They know now and they should learn. And therefore, there probably isn't a chiyuv. However, there are many poskim who say that over and above that, for example, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, I want my son to have a tutor, not because I want to teach him, I want him to do better, I want him to learn another Masechta, just so he loves Torah. That would be mutter. The Igros Moshe says, obviously, as I said, you can't use Meiser money for anything other than your child's tuition if you can't afford it. Others say, what about older kids? My son knows how to learn. As we spoke about before, your year in Israel. So it's possible that maybe the year in Israel, some of the expenses could go for Meiser money, especially if I can't afford it, because I have no chiyuv anymore. My son's 18 years old. He can learn by himself. I just want him to get more inspired. So that might be mutter as well. Again, I recognize what you were saying before about the idea of gifts is not so simple. Meaning, and that's true, there are some poskim who say, a lot of poskim say that gifts that can be actualized, you could hawk them, you could put them on eBay, and you could make money on it, so a person would have to figure out what the true value of that would be. Again, it appears to me, and I'll open this up for questions now, anybody that wants to stay on, it appears to me to be somewhat pashut that this chiyuv, I don't say pashut, but this chiyuv is not mamish for aniyim. This is a big question today, right? Lev HaTorah, right? I think you probably saw this, is having a campaign, $180,000, right? They want to raise in the next 18 days, right? Why? For Nebuch tuition assistance. There are a lot of parents who said, I can't go to Israel now. My son can't go to Israel. That's for poor people. But what if it just we're collecting money for Lev HaTorah so they can build a larger basketball court for you? Whatever. A nicer music room. That's not Meiser. Right? But, right? One might say that you can. Maybe it is Meiser. You know why it's Meiser? Because Meiser is just any stucker. Doesn't have to necessarily go to poor people. So what I'll do now is let's open up to questions. Anybody that has, I'll stay on as long as you guys want. But obviously, if you need to get off, I understand you probably have other classes. So Yishkoyach. Again, I apologize. This is a small review in this. And again, I think seeing that this is only probably a minhag, there is a case that we can say that the chiyuv is not 100%. And certainly in the case of Corona, where a person's nervous, he won't have the money, he could probably just save up the money until later on and to determine what it should be. Okay, any questions?